I'm Scott Cullen. Welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Rock Auto has amazing selection for just about any kind of vehicle at reliably low prices. They have all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. In today's episode, we'll catch up on the playoffs. But first, I want to take a look at some possible trade packages that might be enough to land Buffalo Sabre center Jack Eichel. Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic and TSN has said that the talks are in an accelerated state. So it does appear that Eichel's time in Buffalo is nearing an end. And fundamentally, the Sabres should be able to expect a pretty significant return. Probably a good young roster player, a top prospect, and a first-round pick. Maybe even more, depending on the quality of those players. But, you know, for teams that are trying to acquire a 24-year-old franchise center, that should not come cheaply. Now, they will have to take on Eichel's contract that has an $11 million cap hit. And they have to deal with his injury, the neck and that seems to have been the main source of his issues this season. And some sort of dispute between Eichel and the Sabres in terms of how to deal with that injury. And so let's assume that those things can be worked out, that the acquiring team will be able to get Eichel healthy. And that's the player that they're going to get. So let's start by looking at teams that probably have no shot. We'll start with the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, they might be able to swing a deal if they gave up Leon Draisaitl, but that doesn't really make a lot of sense for Edmonton. Pittsburgh, not enough young guys to make it work. You know, when you start looking for a young forward to include in the deal, maybe you come up with Jake Guentzel. Well, he's like 26. The Sabres, given their where they are in the standings and the fact that it's going to take some time for this team to get into contention, they can't go grabbing players who are in their late 20s. This has to be early 20s or even teenagers if that's the right player. I mean, so the same argument here for the Washington Capitals. Really the one kind of trade chip that Washington might have that might work under other circumstances would be Evgeny Kuznetsov. At least you'd be giving the Sabres, you know, a top flight playmaking center. But Kuznetsov's 29, and so that doesn't seem to be a fit either. The Boston Bruins, doesn't seem like there's a deal to be had there, unless the Bruins were going to give up Charlie McAvoy or David Pastrnak, and I don't see that happening in either case. Toronto, the Maple Leafs could do it for Mitch Marner, but also if they were to make this deal, well, how does that work with Austin Matthews and John Tavares? Is Tavares going to move over to play left wing? And I suppose theoretically that's a possibility, but that seems like a very lateral move for Toronto. Vancouver, I suppose the Canucks could do something by moving their good young players like Nils Höglander, Vasily Podkolzin, their ninth overall pick. Maybe that gets you know, the Sabres to think about it for a little bit. But what do you do if you're the Canucks and you get Eichel? Is Elias Pettersson move over to the wing? Bo Horvat move to the wing? One of them has to, because you're not going to run 1-2-3 down the middle with those guys. You need to kind of give your scoring lines a fighting chance. So I don't think Vancouver makes a ton of sense. Montreal probably could make something work if they were to include Nick Suzuki or Cole Caulfield, maybe both, but that also seems unlikely. If you know, Montreal decided they wanted to make Jesperi Kotkaniemi the centerpiece, I don't know that they could add enough to make that deal worthwhile. For Colorado, there's a possibility here, I suppose. The Avalanche do have some quality young players. There's Alex Newhook and Bowen Byram, Connor Timmins. They do have a first-round pick, albeit a late one. The Avalanche would have to add some salary, you know, to balance this out. And somebody like Nazem Kadri doesn't really make a lot of sense for Buffalo. But I think the bigger issue for Colorado is that if they're looking ahead to what their the future salaries are going to be for Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon, it's hard to imagine that they could take on Eichel unless they got Buffalo to retain 50% of his salary, which is probably a pretty big ask at this point to have Buffalo paying $5.5 million a year for the rest of the contract. Now, I mean, if Buffalo is willing to do that, Colorado would have to pony up. And that means, you know, the likes of Newhook and Byram and Timmins in a first round pick. You know, maybe that does get you into the discussion. But I think the $11 million cap hit is probably a little bit of a complicating factor for the Avalanche. For Dallas, well, Dallas could probably get themselves into this discussion, but they would have to move either Roope Hintz or Miro Heiskanen. And their first round pick probably, which is 14th in the 2021 draft. And I'm not sure that if you're the Stars that makes any real sense. You know, they're probably hoping that Heiskanen is going to be a cornerstone piece on their blue line for many, many years. And Hintz, just coming off a breakout season. Now, you know, maybe if you're Dallas, you would decide that Eichel has more value, but I think that is that's a tough call. You're not making a huge move up if to acquire Eichel it costs you Roope Hintz. For Carolina, I'm not sure that Carolina is lining up to pay anybody $11 million. You know, given their stance right now on Dougie Hamilton, it does seem unlikely that they're going to be out there trying to acquire somebody with an $11 million cap hit. Now, they could offer up the talent to make it work. Andrei Svechnikov, Martin Nichas, Jake Bean, Seth Jarvis, Ryan Suzuki. I mean, you can, you know, mix around a few of those names and then add the 30th pick or whatever, the late pick that the Hurricanes are going to have. And I don't know that really makes a ton of sense either. As I say, we're still dealing with teams that are probably on the unlikely side of the ledger. And then how about the St. Louis Blues? And not that the Blues couldn't come up with a decent package, but given what happened after Buffalo traded Ryan O'Reilly to St. Louis, I have a hard time imagining the Sabres dealing another franchise center to St. Louis. If you're St. Louis and you're doing your due diligence, you start with Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas, and you know maybe a prospect. Their top prospects are Jake Neighbors or Scott Perunovich, and the first round pick is the 17th pick in the 2021 draft. I mean, you can put forth a respectable offer, but boy, I would be shocked if Buffalo in their decision to move Jack Eichel, if it would lead to him ending up with the St. Louis Blues. So when we come back, we will start to take a look at teams that might have a fighting chance at making this deal. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball. The NBA and the NHL are in their playoffs. The U.S. Open's going on this week. And your UFC MMA action. Before the next puck drop, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams make their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You put in $500, another $250 goes into your account. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, so we've covered the teams that are, I guess, least likely to be able to swing a deal for Jack Eichel, and whether that's, whether they don't necessarily have the assets or whether Eichel doesn't necessarily fit with that team. But, there might be 20-ish teams that could have some interest in swinging a deal for Eichel, so let's see what they could offer. First up, we'll go to the New York Islanders. And I think if the Islanders were going to make this move. One, they don't have their first round pick for this year, so you'd be offering up a 2022 first round pick. They probably would need to send Ilya Sorokin to the Sabres. And now look, the Sabres do have a need in goal, and that would hold some real value for them. But what else do you add if you're the Islanders? Anthony Beauvillier, Oliver Wahlstrom? I mean, okay, but I don't know that moves the needle a whole lot for Buffalo. Tampa Bay. I only say this because Tampa Bay would probably do their due diligence on this and try and see what they could do to make it work. What if they sent Anthony Cirelli and Mikhail Sergachev and their 2022 first round pick? Does that get you into the discussion? Maybe, but again, it's probably unlikely. Detroit. I think the Red Wings, you know, aren't necessarily the right fit because I don't know that, you know, they're ready to win, even if you just add Jack Eichel to their mix. And do they have to send Dylan Larkin the other way, I guess, would be part of the question, too. Is I think in an ideal world, if you're Detroit, you're sure you'd like to have Jack Eichel as your top line center and Dylan Larkin as your number two, and then you're really cooking with gas. But do you have enough assets otherwise to make a deal work? You know, you can send prospects like Lucas Raymond and Joe Valeno and Jonathan Berggren. And now they do have first round picks. They've got the sixth pick and the 23rd pick in this year's draft. And, you know, I think if you're Detroit, you could, you know, try something along those lines. And, you know, maybe what if it's Tyler Bertuzzi and Lucas Raymond and two first round picks? Does that entice the Sabres? Maybe it does. But I think dealing for Eichel, you should probably be a team that is feeling like you're a contender, because I don't know that you want another couple of seasons of rebuilding for Jack Eichel, which then leads us to the New Jersey Devils. I don't know. The Devils don't have great prospects, but what if they offer Jack Hughes? And, you know, they have the fourth and the 19th pick in this year's draft. Would Hughes, the fourth and the 19, be enough to make a difference? Perhaps. Would the Devils be interested in moving Jack Hughes? You know, his first two seasons, I don't know that they've been, you know, terrible, but he also hasn't, you know, lit the world on fire in terms of scoring as the number one overall pick. So I suppose it's a possibility, but I have my doubts that would be really a fit on either side. For Florida, I don't know that Florida has the young NHL talent. Now, they have prospects. You got Lundell, Denisenko, Tippett. You know, you could throw a few of those guys in the 26th pick in the 2021 draft and hope, but I don't imagine there's a way to really make that work. And, you know, not that you turn down a Jack Eichel trade because you have Sam Bennett, but I think Florida having Barkov and Bennett 1-2 down the middle is probably their plan moving forward. How about Columbus? The Columbus Blue Jackets, I mean, they're a team who is ripe to make change. And if you could convince, you know, Eichel to come and be the centerpiece in Columbus, you know, maybe, I mean, you could offer Patrick Laine. I mean, his first go around with the Blue Jackets didn't go great, but certainly he has to have value on the trade market. Elvis Merzlikins. And then look to, you know, young forwards and prospects. Prospect like Kirill Marchenko, who's, you know, Columbus's top prospect playing in the KHL. I don't know that he's hugely valuable, but certainly an asset. Guys like Emil Bemström and Alexander Texier. You know, Columbus, to their credit, they do have three first-round picks. They've got the fifth pick, 22nd pick, and 24th pick in this year's draft. You know, if you threw a couple of those in with Line A, you probably get the Sabres to listen. And, you know, then you could see what kind of deal can be made. And I don't, you know, love the idea of Columbus doing this, but they're also looking at potentially dealing Seth Jones this summer too. So, I mean, they may have some other irons in the fire in terms of remaking their roster. How about Nashville? They do have some young guys, Luke Cunnan, Eli Tolvanen, Dante Fabro, prospect like Philip Tomasino. They do have a few guys that, you know, if you put a couple of those guys plus the 18th pick in this year's draft, that's, you know, that's not great. But Tomasino's, you know, pretty promising prospect who played well in the American Hockey League this year. And, you know, maybe that gets you some interest. How about San Jose? San Jose, their problem is their highest priced guys are really next to impossible to move. You know, between Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson and Mark-Edward Vlasic. And then guys like Evander Kane and Logan Couture, you know, you might be able to move them, but they don't fit at all with Buffalo's where they are in their development. So, I mean, you could try Timo Meier, maybe Kevin LeBanc as a salary to include there. Does defenseman Mario Ferraro work, or prospect like Thomas Bortolo? And then San Jose does have the seventh pick in this year's draft. And, you know, does it make sense from, you know, the perspective of San Jose? Do you take a run at Eichel and basically hope that with your sort of aging core that you could be a playoff team next season, because otherwise, you know, what are you doing? Why would you even bother? How about Chicago Blackhawks? And I think Chicago at least has an interesting angle in that they could include Kirby Dach. Now, you know, maybe they don't want to include Kirby Dach, but if you make Kirby Dach the kind of centerpiece, and then, you know, whether it's Dylan Strome or Adam Boqvist, the first round pick, which is 12th overall in 2021, I mean, there's, you know, there's a way that Chicago could be interesting here. And certainly Dach, I guess the best feature for him is that he's, you know, a 20-year-old. And if you're Buffalo and you're looking to rebuild, and you could look at, all right, we have Kirby Dach and Dylan Cousins as really good young forwards that we can build around, you know, maybe there's something to be worked out there. For Vegas, you know, it would seem ridiculous for the Golden Knights to be in on this. At the same time, you know, they've had Chandler Stephenson running as their top line center. So, you know, can they figure out a way to take on an $11 million contract? Now, I mean, that would complicate things. Alex Tuch would probably be the main player heading back, and would Vegas also have to send Chandler Stephenson, or do they go to their prospects like Peyton Krebs or Cody Glass, Jack Dugan? And now their first round pick is going to be a late one. Obviously, they're in the semifinals right now. But if Vegas is willing to move Tuch and a top prospect, I think if you're Buffalo, you would at least listen. I don't know that that's the best you're going to see, but I think it's probably enough to be interesting and see whether or not you could work something out there. How about the Ottawa Senators? Now, given that, you know, the league is likely to change back to their normal divisions, I'm not sure that the Sabres are going to be inclined to put Eichel in Ottawa, a team where they're battling in the same division. Now, from Ottawa's perspective, they would probably do it for anybody not named Brady Tkachuk. But would that be enough? You know, if there's Josh Norris or Tim Stützle or Drake Batherson, Colin White, you know, put together a few of those guys and then grab a prospect, whether it's Jake Sanderson or Shane Pinto, Jacob Bernard Docker, and then the first round pick, which is 10th overall, you know, you might be able to at least make a credible offer. And at the same time, Ottawa doesn't necessarily seem like a team that wants to pay somebody $11 million. So I can see a world in which Ottawa makes a credible offer. At the same time, given the circumstances, I would be surprised if that's where Jack Eichel ends up. How about the Calgary Flames? Now, the Flames would probably do Sean Monahan, and I would imagine the Sabres would like it to be Matthew Tkachuk. You know, Dylan Dubé is kind of in the right age group for a young forward, but he's not really enough of an impact player to make it work. The Flames' top prospects, Connor Zeri or Jacob Pelletier, sure, include one of those guys, plus the 11th pick. That I suppose that would be it would be a credible offer. I'm just not sure whether or not that's really the deal that works for Buffalo. All right, when we come back, we will break down the top contenders in terms of potential trades for Jack Eichel, and then we'll look ahead to Thursday's action in the Stanley Cup playoffs. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand in their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com, at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business. They've been serving do-it-yourselfers for 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today. Find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How'd You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, so let's take a look at some of the top contenders as teams that might be interested in Jack Eichel. Say the Winnipeg Jets. You know, they probably aren't thrilled with how their Pierre-Luc Dubois acquisition worked out. Doesn't mean that they necessarily bail on it right away, but Winnipeg does have a good young forward that they could send. They could send Kyle O'Connor, Pierre-Luc Dubois, Mason Appleton, maybe. And then they have prospects. Cole Perfetti, Dylan Sandberg, maybe Sammy Niku. I don't know if he's more prospect or suspect at this point. Now, the trouble for Winnipeg is that they don't have a very early first-round pick, and so that that does sort of diminish some of their value overall. If you're Buffalo and interested in taking back a player of the caliber of Kyle Connor or Pierre-Luc Dubois, that would at least get you in the discussion. Arizona could send Clayton Keller, Connor Garland, maybe Christian Dvorak. I don't know if he's necessarily good enough as a young forward. Defense prospect Victor Soderstrom's not bad. But Arizona doesn't have their first round pick. Remember, they had to forfeit that. So the 2022 first round pick for Arizona, I suppose they could come up with a decent offer, but it doesn't seem likely. For Philadelphia, now it does sound like Philadelphia is maybe knocking around on Seth Jones to improve their defense, but they could pull together a package for Eichel if they were interested, with Travis Konecny, Joel Farabee, Nolan Patrick. Their first round pick is the 13th pick in the draft. Whether they would include defense prospect Cam York, there's a path here to Philadelphia, making a credible offer. At the same time, it also probably requires them to move another forward to create some cap space. Whether that's somebody like Jacob Voracek or, Philadelphia does have the assets. I don't know that that's a real great fit for them either. Anaheim. Now Anaheim keeps getting mentioned as a team that could make this kind of move. But for it to be a real good deal for Buffalo, it probably has to include Trevor Zegras. I don't know what the... I mean, I think if you're Anaheim and you thought, we're going to build around Eichel and Zegras 1-2 down the middle, then okay, you can see how that works for the Ducks. If you're Buffalo and you don't get Zegras, well, what's the point? Troy Terry, Sam Steele, Max Comtois, they're fine. Useful, good young players, and maybe with some untapped potential even. I suppose the real value out of Anaheim would be the third overall pick in 2021. And is Eichel plus a couple of those young forwards, or the third overall pick plus a couple of those young forwards, is that enough for Jack Eichel? I'm skeptical, but I think it would be Anaheim. They have a way to make it work if they decide to offer up Zegras. If they don't, then I think Buffalo will probably find more value elsewhere. Now, don't drive too far. Go over to Los Angeles, where the Kings have tons of players that they could include in a deal for Eichel. But it sounds like, from reporting down in LA, that they're not in on the Jack Eichel trade. If you're Los Angeles and you look at a prospect group of Quentin Byfield and Alex Turcotte and Tobias Bjornfoe and Arthur Kaliev, Samuel Fajamo, Akil Thomas, Jared Anderson Dolan, and then young pros like Adrian Kempe, Gabe Vilardi, take two or three of those guys, add in the eighth pick in the 2021 draft, and there's a fair offer to be made there. And certainly you're getting, if you're Buffalo, you're getting guys who are in the right age, a lot of guys who are in their early 20s. So there's a way to do it if Los Angeles is interested, but from recent reporting, it does sound like they're not terribly interested. All right, so now we're down to a few teams that are probably more serious about this, and like the Minnesota Wild they started this season with hardly anyone down the middle of the ice. Their number one center was going to be Marcus Johansson, who's mostly been a winger, and just because they didn't have real great NHL talent down the middle. Now they Joel Eriksson-Ek continued to develop and had a pretty nice season for them. But if you're Minnesota and you think you're gonna try and compete with the big boys, you probably need a higher quality number one center, and Jack Eichel would fit the bill there. Now how do you go about that if you're Minnesota? Well, you could offer Joel Eriksson-Ek, which that's kind of one step forward, one step back. I think you would, in an ideal world, you would have Eriksson-Ek lined up behind Eichel, so that you're solid in your 1-2. But you could go Kevin Fiala, Jordan Greenway, Matt Dumba on defense. Fiala might be the most intriguing one there, because he's had moments where he looks like he's a really high-end scoring winger, and then he goes through stretches where he's not. But there's upside there. And then can you get a prospect out of them? Like Matthew Boldy, they're a pretty high quality forward prospect. I think, you know, Minnesota would be reluctant to offer Marco Rossi, even though Rossi missed all of last season because of COVID. But, you know, if you can get one of those prospects and Kevin Fiala, and then Minnesota's got first round picks now, they're later and they're 21st and 25th. So you might have to include both of those. But, you know, there is certainly, if there's a will for Minnesota to deal for Eichel, there's probably a way for them to make an offer that's competitive. And then how about the New York Rangers? And the Rangers are probably the favorite when it comes to an Eichel trade, because they have so many young forwards, young players in general, they could include. And, you know, it's Kaapo Kakko and Vitali Kravtsov and Alexi Lafreniere and Philip Hedel and Keandre Miller, Zach Jones, and Nils Lindqvist, the defenseman from Sweden, who, you know, could be a real difference maker. Who knows? But if you know, include a couple of those guys and the 15th pick, you know, that might get things moving, and then the Rangers might have to move another player, and whether that's Ryan Strome or Mika Zibanejad. I mean, if you move one of those guys, well, then maybe you've you carve out some room there for Eichel to step in and be a top line player. And this is a team that, you know, fortunately for the Rangers, they do have enough young talent that they can make this kind of move and not gut the franchise in order to do it. So this is why I think the Rangers are probably the favorites. I guess the wild card could be the Seattle Kraken. You know, if you're the Kraken, you have the second overall pick, and in a year where there seems to be quite a bit of uncertainty, do you offer that up to the Sabres and say, okay, Sabres, you can take the first two picks. You know, you don't have to make your choice between Michigan men. You can just take Owen Power and Matty Beniers, and then you're set. But would you be willing to do that as Seattle? I think if you're Seattle to do that, you would have to be pretty confident in what you would be getting from the expansion draft, because you don't want to make that kind of move to grab Jack Eichel and then not be able to surround him with at least competent talent. Now, having seen, mock drafts and so on for the expansion draft, there is a path here to Seattle having a competitive roster next season. The question is, are you building for the long haul, or are you kind of feeling, pressure would necessarily be the right word, but whether you want to compete with what happened in Vegas. Like maybe you don't have to make the finals in your first year, but if you're playing to be a competitive team, a playoff team in your first year, will you be able to surround Eichel with sufficient talent? So, those are all things for Seattle to consider. But looking at the top teams, I think the Rangers and Minnesota look like the two teams who might have the best shot. Although Los Angeles, basically just has to say they're interested, and then they become real contenders. So let's take a look at what's been happening in the Stanley Cup playoffs now. We've got Wednesday night. Montreal wins 3-2 at Vegas to even up the series, 1-1. Alex Pietrangelo scored both goals for Vegas. He's got 3 goals and 7 assists in 15 playoff games. It's his second most points in a playoff, falling only behind 2019, when he had 15 points for the Blues in their run to the Stanley Cup. Pietrangelo also had 69.1% Corsi in Wednesday's game. The other end of the spectrum there for Vegas, Braden McNabb had a 37% Corsi on the ice for 2 goals against. They didn't have Chandler Stephenson in the lineup, so they plugged Keegan Kolesar in as their, their number one center between Max Pacioretty and Mark Stone. That line carried the play, 69.6%. Corsi when that trio was on the ice. Now for Montreal, Joel Edmondson had a couple of assists, had the best possession numbers on Montreal in the game, 56.3% Corsi. John Merrill was down at the low end, 28% Corsi. Carey Price had a strong game for Montreal, stopped 29 of 31 shots in 13 postseason games. He's got a .930 save percentage. That makes a big difference, right? It's easy to be a competitive team when your goalie stops 93% of the shots. And that's basically what we're seeing from teams that are in the semifinals. Marc-Andre Fleury is a little below that, but no one is in this final four with their goalie getting lit up in a big way. Now, Tuesday, the Islanders lost 4-2 at Tampa Bay, as Tampa Bay, even that series. Nikita Kucherov had 3 assists for the Lightning. He has 22 points in 13 games to lead all playoff scorers. The next highest scorer who is still involved in the playoffs is Braden Point, who has 14 points. So there's a pretty good distance here for Kucherov in the scoring race. Tampa Bay defenseman Victor Hedman also had a goal and assist. He has 13 points in 13 games to lead all defensemen. Yanni Gourde, when he was on the ice at 5-on-5, the Lightning outshot the Islanders 15-0. And that's shot attempts, but you know, 100% Corsi playing a regular shift. That's a game. And now on the other side, the Islanders, Jean-Gabriel Pageau was outshot 12-1. That's a 7.7% Corsi. Travis Zajac outshot 15-2. That's an 11.8% Corsi. So you could see who Gourde was beating up on in that game. And so that leads us into Thursday night. So on betonline.ag, the Tampa Bay Lightning are -132 at the New York Islanders. And I don't know that this is a huge value play. I mean, my model has Tampa Bay as favorites, but in the -125 range. So we're not necessarily looking at this as a real great opportunity one way or the other. But I think it was, you know, obviously huge for Tampa Bay to win the second game of the series, to give themselves a fighting chance. You don't want to be down 2-0 heading on the road. But at the same time, when they're playing well, you can see that Tampa Bay has probably a higher ceiling. It's just a matter of whether they can play that way and kind of create some distance with the Islanders. And, you know, the Islanders are doing their level best to, you know, level this playing field and try and keep Tampa Bay from getting away from them. And so, I don't think there's huge value in the price for Thursday night's games. So that will do it for today. Enjoy the game. You can check out my work on The Athletic and McKean's Hockey, as well as at scottcullenhockey.substack.com. Also, check out the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast. Find these podcasts on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, raise your hand if you thought the Atlanta Hawks would be up 3-2 on the Philadelphia 76ers. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
We're talking about the greatest sport in the world.